Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We join you from Front Street Station today. We're going to have a great time this evening. We'll be talking with the outstanding play-by-play voice of Bucknell football and basketball, Doug Birdsong, in just a few moments. But first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Pitch is cracked in the air to deep left center field. Way back goes Herrera to the track, to the wall. It's gone! First major league home run for Andrew Stevenson is a game-tying two-run pinch hit homer.
That wasn't good.
No. He gets the call. He's in Syracuse. He gets the call from Davey Martinez for the Nats. Gets down to D.C. as fast as he possibly could. And so he wouldn't have hit that home run if it wouldn't have been for that hour and 40-minute rain delay last night.
Oh. Yeah.
Rough night.
Let me put it this way. I've seen most of the Washington Nationals this year because they've had so many rehabs with Auburn. Because what happens is Syracuse is only 20 miles from Auburn.
Yeah.
So they do the rehabs for the AAA guys there. So I've seen Sierra, who's been in the major leagues. Victor Robles is probably going to come up. He's going to play for them. They got a couple pitchers that have been rehabbing. One was with the Padres. Another one was with them 2 years ago and had bad luck. He's a Barrett kid's now 30 years old. And the reason he had to rehab is that he needed Tommy John. Then when he came back, he broke his wrist. So he's missed 2 years. Now, when he's been out there and pitched, you can see he's got some legit pop in his arm. Now, they're also babying him. Okay? They're also babying him, which is fine. I'm going to stop talking and let her, as she goes by the speakers. Yes, a cup would be great.
A cup.
Yes, that would be great.
So tonight we got Zach Eplin and Strasburg. Strasburg's pitching tonight. He gets a start tonight for a change.
Strasburg is a perfect example, unintentionally, of where baseball has made some odd turns in terms of how they handle things these days. Why is it that Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddox, right? The disabled list was a rumor to them, and they threw inning after inning after inning after inning.
It's the one word would be consistency.
Well, yeah, but why? They never made the disabled list. Okay, Strasburg is a brilliant talent. And remember, okay, we're going to put an innings limit on him as soon as he gets there, and they shut him down.
That's got to drive some Nats fans absolutely crazy when it's going to come to the point. It's like, when can we just move on from this guy?
Okay, but they shut him down. Okay, that's their choice. It's not Strasburg's choice. Okay? He then pitches the next year, and he still gets hurt. Just pitch him. I mean, stop babying these guys. What turned in the minors? What turned 75 into the magic number? What? I mean, the Pirates were a maddening group to announce minor league games for. And he's out of there. He threw 38 pitches. His limit was 40. 40! He's your starting pitcher. 40? That happened in Williamsport one day. I'm looking around thinking, this isn't baseball. All right, now it's a little bit different. You get guys stretched out. Doug, put a headset on. You don't need a headset. Nope. You're fine.
He's good.
Doug, absolute pleasure. Another great season of Bucknell football coming up. Doug, the schedule is about as tough as I can recall Bucknell ever playing. And they come out of the gate with William and Mary, but they've got Villanova, they've got Penn. I mean, this is a tough run where I think everybody's going to find out right away how good Bucknell is.
Oh, you're exactly right, Steve. First off, great to see you. Last time I think I saw you, you were in Madison Square Garden.
I saw you at the Garden there. It was great.
What a great ending for Coach Chambers. And
I asked
guys.
You if you brought anybody with you. I said, no. You said no. I said, okay, sit down.
My wife and two kids were there, and a good friend of mine, Randy Lee, was calling play-by-play for Western Kentucky University.
Randy's a nice guy, by the way.
Oh, he's awesome.
Great guy.
I just talked with him last night. They open at Wisconsin, so you'll, I guess.
I hope they enjoy the check they get.
Exactly.
Because that will be the one redeeming thing for Western Kentucky when they play Wisconsin is that they will get a check. It'll be seven figures, and you're to take your loss and move on.
And smile while doing it.
Yeah.
But now about the Bison, you're right. That schedule is a monster schedule. Really tough. Last year, Bucknell won five games. Three of those were in the non-conference schedule. Two of those were against teams that are not on the schedule this year, Cornell and Marist.
Right.
They've been picked up by, I heard you earlier mention, Penn down at Franklin Field, which is always a cool place to broadcast from.
Yeah, that's a real trip.
Sure. You've been there. Were you on the underhang?
Nothing. It's the overhang. It is really nothing quite like it.
Now,
Kajana Carter and I the other day were reminiscing about these one Franklin Field game. That was the game where he hurt his thumb.
Ooh.
On the side. Now, it had nothing to do with the field or anything like that. He got grabbed in the sideline, his thumb. Well, Penn State had a bye week after playing Temple. So for 2 weeks, they nursed him along, and they finally came up with a way to get that thumb ready for Michigan. And he played a brilliant game, but that's where it happens, Franklin Field.
Oh, wow. Now, that's tough, believe me. But, Villanova also, a CAA team. Bucknell opens with another Colonial Athletic Conference Athletic Association team in William & Mary. So, yeah, it's a very, very daunting schedule for Coach Susan and the boys.
Yeah, no, it is. Let's talk about strengths coming back. To open the season, the first 3 weeks of the season, where will they lean to say, okay, because you have to do what you do best. What does Bucknell do best?
Well, Coach Susan really loves to run the football. There's no doubt about it. Chad Freshnock, of course, had over 600 yards a year ago. And then also you have a really talented freshman from Rochester, New York, Marquise Carter. And I think that our engineer enjoys that, as you can hear with the two.
Big Bucknell fan. Want to make sure everybody knew.
That's right. But, I think that Coach Susan would like that. Now, Bobby Acosta, who is the second-year offensive coordinator for the Orange and Blue, he wants to mix it up some. We haven't seen exactly what Coach Acosta and what Coach Susan are going to do in terms of picking a quarterback yet. It's between a sophomore, Logan Bitticoffer, out of New Philadelphia, Ohio, just south of Canton.
Yep.
And then also last two years really played a ton, John Trelonzo.
Yep.
And he's a junior out of New Jersey. So it'll be interesting to see. Both of them have good skills, very good skills. Obviously, experience goes to John. And we'll see. Logan right now is running number one in practice, but who knows?
They also, I thought, were a team that for the most part was really good defensively last year, especially up front. So where does the strength of this defense go this time?
Well, not only up front with Abdullah Anderson having graduated, now he's in camp with the Chicago Bears, but also they lost the two middle guys still in the middle, if you will. Ben Richard, a great, just a great heady, strong linebacker, Mark Piles, who is just a super gamesman in terms of knowing where everybody else needed to be. So that's going to be crucial right now. Matt Robinson, Sam Chitty, those two guys are going in the middle linebacker spot. And, talking with Matt Borich, the defensive coordinator, Steve, I think that he is still very high, even though they lost not only Abdullah, but a couple other really good defensive linemen like Trevor Fenimore. He's really high on the guys that are coming back, and he feels very good about the freshmen. You know, they're going to play a lot, I'm sure, particularly on the defensive front. And I guess we'll see. That one thing Coach Borich has done, and you've seen it too at Penn State, defense for almost your whole tenure has just been outstanding.
Sure.
Well, Matt Borich has brought the same thing to Bucknell. And really, it kind of harkens back when I first arrived and before I even arrived in Lewisburg. Tom Gadd, Dave Katulski. Yeah. Tom Gadd used to be the defensive coordinator for South Carolina. A thing they called him the Red Ants.
Right.
The Fire Ants in there. And, I tell you what, I think that the Borich-led defense, it'll be, again, a very staunch unit here this year.
Has Joe discussed at all how he wants to handle the redshirt rule? And how beneficial can the redshirt rule be?
We will not see any redshirts at Bucknell. Unfortunately, the big issue with Bucknell is we do not have – we only have a handful of graduate programs.
Right.
And you can't really add a whole lot more graduate programs because Bucknell is a liberal arts institution. And so if you head your way towards a more heavy presence of grad programs, you would lose that distinction. So we will not be seeing Bucknell. That's their niche. You know, that's Bucknell University's niche, and you don't want to move out of that niche.
Well, how do you handle then 63 scholarships and then building consistency year after year after year when, okay, you're hoping, okay, that guy's ready, he's ready to play, but you have, you know, your numbers don't aren't conducive to that.
That has been the biggest problem, I think, that Coach Susan, and really, to be quite honest, a handful of other teams in the Patriot League have had to deal with, Steve. It's been a big issue because you get people hurt. You know, you bring in a whole new class. You have to expect them to play a lot of minutes, not just in special teams, but maybe starting or being a very big contributor as a second teamer on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And it's really tough. I know Coach Susan has lamented. It's great having scholarships, no doubt, but he's lamented that they don't have a ton of numbers because we don't get a ton of walk-ons either.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're a walk-on, you're most likely paying full freight to go to Bucknell University. And obviously, along with many of the other great academic institutions around the country, it costs a lot of money.
It costs a lot of money indeed. Which then gets me to the athleticism part of it. At Penn State, I was talking with Jack Ham Sunday night. We were at the scrimmage. And when it was done, I said, you know, it's what's interesting. I said, you watch them now, Jack, and you feel like they're replacing somebody with another athlete. I mean, another really good athlete. Now, you can do that at Penn State's level. What have you seen in the athleticism of Bucknell now that Joe Susan's had a chance to really get his program going? What have you seen with the athleticism?
Oh, I think that we can match up athletically with virtually anybody on our schedule in terms of Patriot League. Now, next year
everything's relative.
Exactly. Next year we open at Temple. You mentioned Temple against Penn State a few years ago. Same deal with Bucknell. Bucknell opens down in Philly at Temple. So that's going to be a challenge. But and then some of the CAA teams will be a challenge. But in terms of relativity, as you mentioned, in the Patriot League, I think Bucknell matches up very nicely athletics-wise. Now, the key is some of the Patriot League schools, they do have guys that have been hurt. The Patriot League does not offer redshirt status, but some of them have gotten hurt, and they've held them back, like last year's quarterback for Holy Cross. Now, he missed all but three games 2 years ago, but last year he was a fifth-year senior. And Albert Pujols, I haven't heard if he's made an NFL roster yet, but he was in camp.
September 1st will be the countdown.
Yeah, exactly. Not a final thing yet. So some of the other schools in the Patriot League, if they have injuries, they usually have their guys come back. Bucknell, unfortunately, it doesn't happen too often.
It doesn't happen that way for them. When you look at the preseason regimen, have there been any adjustments made as to how they go about preseason? Most coaches are, you know, I mean, they'll adapt here and there, but most coaches, they get into a way of doing things. I'll give you, we just talked about Russ Rose. Russ doesn't change, okay? Why? Because Russ has won seven national championships. Russ doesn't need to change. Have you seen any way of adapting that Bucknell has, or is there a way of doing things that happens to be the way of doing things?
Yes, as a matter of fact, and particularly tackling. You know, and I think that a lot of the coaches, whether it's FBS, FCS, you have to deal with the tackling issue because you don't want guys injured. And so mainly that's probably the biggest thing, tackling and any real contact. They obviously scrimmage and they go full contact there, but it's usually in scrimmages. In practices, as I'm sure Penn State does, you go thud. And you make sure guys don't fall on the ground. They sometimes do.
Nobody on the ground.
Yeah, nobody on the ground because that gets people tangled up and causes injuries.
Then there's tag-off.
And there's tag-off, exactly.
But there's a way of doing this. So people understand there's a way of doing tag-off that actually is really effective. But you have to learn how to do it in order for it to be effective.
And that usually comes with experience. And, you know, there's experience in games, but there's experience in practices as well. You've seen that through your years. So, you know, that's something that the youngsters have to kind of learn as they go. But, yes, I think our coaches have done a tremendous job adjusting. You know, I don't think Coach Susan would have liked to have adjusted, but you have to do what you have to do to keep people healthy.
One of the big differences in last year's Bucknell team, I thought made a difference in swinging some games, finally got a punt game that could swing the field. What kind of weapon was that and continues to be?
Alex Peachin is unbelievable, Steve. You know, he was a third-team All-America punter last year, Scholar Athlete of the Year as an engineering major at Bucknell, so he obviously ends up doing everything in the classroom that he does on the field. He is incredible, not only in getting punts that he averaged 45.1 yards per punt last year, but also he put over 30 inside the opponent's 10-yard line. Not just 20, but inside the 10. And, you know, that's just so crucial. And it definitely helps Coach Borch's defense, and it helps Bucknell's offense to go with a shorter field whenever they get the ball back.
So what's your schedule going to be like during the course of the fall? I mean, can you just lock in on football, or is it going to be the same for you where you've got to do a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there for everybody else?
Do a little bit here, a little bit there. I'm very thankful to have people like Matt Cotrillo. Yeah. Matt has helped us out tremendously. Yeah. Joe Vasil. Joe calls a lot of our...
I work with Joe. I did the New York Penn League All-Star game with Joe. And, you know, and as I've said, Matt's probably on our staff, probably the third best play-by-play guy we got. So,
where does Joe fit?
Joe Vasile?
Yeah.
Joe Vasile is an outstanding play-by-play guy because he does the AAA Yankees affiliate. And Joe is a really, really good young broadcaster. I really like working with him a lot. I did two games with him this year, including the New York Penn League All-Star game.
Yes, he is outstanding. So I really am so thankful to have those two guys help out. But I'll call some soccer. Yeah. My first... Actually, Bison Vision call will be next Friday, field hockey, then followed by women's soccer, another field hockey on Sunday, and, of course, the Bison kick it off on Saturday in football against William & Mary.
How are season tickets going for football?
Well, I think, you know, the people are excited.
They should be.
Yeah, and I think not only with what Coach Susan's going to put on the field this year, but also a ton of great promotions. The first game is going to be, thanks to our friends here at Sunbury Broadcasting, along with Wise Markets, and we just heard the promo a little bit ago on WKOK, along with Wise Markets and also Silvertip Incorporated, going to have fireworks after the game.
That's
so
right.
We hope the Bison will provide the fireworks during the game. And, of course, Wise and also Silvertip and Sunbury Broadcasting after. We have Military Day, Appreciation Day coming up, the second home game of the year, the 8th. That'll be another tough one against Sacred Heart. And it just goes on and on with the year. Not just what's on the field, but also the promotions off the field. I think it'll be a great year.
And we have a couple big pre-game tailgate shows we're going to have on Eagle 107. Like, as you would say, they'll probably have some guy come over and do one of those.
Yeah, they'll get some of
Kevin Herr, I think, is that, but, you know.
Well, I got to share that with Kevin?
No. No, we won't talk about that.
You guys are in game prep mode at that point.
That's right.
Yeah, game prep.
Where he is. Yes.
Game
You're
prep.
Good.
Yeah, game prep. Right. Hey, is it uncomfortable when the analyst walks in and says, who are we playing? I just want to know. I mean, I don't know what that feels like.
You know, it's not bad because Kevin is always very cool in bringing up Domino's Pizza for us. So, you know, I'll let him say what he says as long as he provides the pizza for us.
I'll explain one particular reason why Doug could never work with Jack Ham. All right? Wendy's.
He doesn't care for that?
Oh, my goodness. He'll say to me, he says, we'll be sitting there, too. Steve, order the ginger. It's really good for you. Right? He doesn't look over at me and he says, hey, how about the Wendy's double? With cheese. That would be great. I never hear that. All right. I think we should have a Frosty.
50 cents now. Limited time.
Chocolate or vanilla Frosty?
I like vanilla myself.
The vanilla Frosty. Yeah.
I'm chocolate all the way.
Chocolate Frosty.
Chocolate, sure. Right. Old school.
That's terrific. All right, Doug. Complete pleasure.
It's always great seeing you. Steve, you know, we've done this usually over the phone to be able to have the great facilities here at Front Street Station and all the folks kind of enjoying us here today, even the train engineers. I think it's a great time.
Yeah, the train engineers have actually doubled our group here. It's been great.
That's right.
So it's great to have them on board. You'll have a great season. Eagle 107 carrying both Bucknell football and basketball, as always. Looking forward to that.
You didn't go on the trip, the European trip with Coach.
I've never done that.
You never have?
I've never done the foreign trip. Now, obviously, I've done a football game at Ireland, and I am going to do two basketball games in Cancun Thanksgiving week. That's the first time I've ever done anything that would be, but the foreign trip we've never done, we've never broadcast. Now, Purdue, for example, Purdue does broadcast their foreign trip. Although I want to say, again, our deepest wishes go out to Larry Clisby, the Purdue play-by-play guy who's battling stage 4 lung and brain cancer. I mean, Cliz has been there for 35 years. Beloved. They put a GoFundMe page together because he's 66, 67 years old, so on Medicare, Part B picks up 80%. So they put a GoFundMe page together. On the GoFundMe page, the first contribution was $10,000 from Matt Painter.
Wow. Right. Matt Painter is a classic.
Yeah, he sure is. You don't like Matt Painter, you don't like people.
Right.
So, hey, always a pleasure. You're going to have a great season.
Steve. I think it'll be great.
Thanks so much. We will come back with more Front Street Station in a moment. The Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
7 new Fords every day. Sunbury Motors needs to average 7 new Fords sold per day until the end of August. So you win with these discounts. Save up to a whopping $16,200 on the area's largest selection of new 2018 Ford trucks. Choose from over 80 trucks with new 2018 Ford F-150s slash to as low as $25,995. Pick from 56 2018 Ford Escapes priced as low as $18,820. And there's 0% financing for up to 72 months, plus discounts as high as $5,000 on many new Fords. SMCS 21 2018 Ford Focuses, starting at $14,925. SMC is where you want to be in August for the largest selection and massive discounts on new Fords. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley and all of Central VA for over a century. Hurry in. SMC will do whatever it takes to sell 7 new Fords per day till the end of August.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, we'll see. Absolutely. Front Street Station today on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We'll be talking Penn State football with our group when we're done. Great to have Doug Birdsong on the show today. Doug, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate your expertise and what a great pro Doug is. Doug's a pro's pro. The coach, Dick Hort, has just arrived.
Marty's here. Yes.
Mentally prepared for another 3 months of caring. And Bob Buhner is in the house. Corey's here with the brought the pickles. I've already had four of the barrels. I mean, I've had four so far. I mean, it's been bad. I've been going pouring them on.
It's a
here.
Snack.
It is a snack.
Snack. Snack.
It's a snack. I got a game tonight. This is going to carry me for a little while. Last night I sat through this 1 hour rain delay watching it pour. I want to tell you right now what they did up in Williamsport with the Little League World Series thing. That place is a mess. It is a mess. The parking lot is a mess. But Corey,
no.
There
rain.
You are, Corey, my main man. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and something. Beverage Supermarket.
Beverage Supermarket and the Pickle Bar
is second to none.
Right? You do it up good, Steve.
Yes, we do. Well, that's because it is good.
We brought you some barrels. You're going to try them. Everybody else is out here going to have a beer or two, maybe, but you're going to have some pickles. We brought you some Old Bay,
some
bread and butter, some hot tomatoes.
Wow.
But, of course, your favorite's the barrels.
Barrels. Love the barrels. Love the dills. All right. All right, so what specials do we have coming up? I noticed you have a beverage. Didn't take long.
Well, somebody forced this on me. I think his name was Roger. we got some good specials, Miller Lite, and we have a lot of good stuff for the holidays. Big thing now, October time, so all the Oktoberfests are out.
And not only that, big thing, too, is tailgate time. Yes. It is tailgate time, boys and girls.
It's hard to believe. It's football time. I'm ready.
We're all ready. I think everybody doesn't want to talk about the issues of the day as interesting as they may be. We want to talk about football. And it starts, and that means, hey, stock up every Friday. Why? Because I said so.
That's right. You do us right every Friday. We appreciate a Brewers Outlet.
Hey.
And we appreciate the show you do and what you do for our town. Sports, that's what everybody's into around here. obviously Penn State football, and you do it right. Thank you, Steve.
Corey, thank you. Thanks so much for everything. We appreciate it so much. And for the pickles, I think we'll tell Kevin that there was a personal delivery. And then it's going to be, well, where's mine? I can hear my brother, where's mine? Corey, what a great job.
And, Steve, you know, the garlic pickles are to die for. I'm just saying in a personal perspective.
Now, have you had the Old Bay ones here?
Not yet, but if they're around.
Here, have an Old Bay.
Oh, my goodness.
Have an Old Bay. This would be great. Now, this is something Girardi would love.
Okay? He would love that.
Girardi's a Maryland guy. It's like Old Bay's on everything. Okay? Ah, the train to nowhere. All right. That was from Milwaukee. I did a game there in March in Milwaukee. All right. Have some of the Old Bay. And a gentle zephyr caresses
nice
the
breeze.
Broadcast facility of champions. Yeah. I got to give Kevin a shout out. When the wind came up, he dove on top of the wine. You really
and,
had,
and I mean, Jamie thank you.
and that is the first time that's happened. All right,
and see, the old adage of women and children first does not apply to Kevin.
No, he dove on the beverages right away. All right, so there's no word yet. What's interesting is that Urban Meyer has been there since 9:30 this morning. Now he has not been in the meeting.
No,
he has not been. He was in it. Out of it. Then his wife showed up an hour ago. Well, so far, now remember, you know, some of this might deal with her as an employee because of how she was confided. Nobody knows how this is going to turn out. Everybody's been guessing, but that's all they've been doing is guessing because there's a lot of diverse opinions, I'm sure, in that room.
Let me offer this thought, having been a trustee at two universities for over 30-some years. And been involved in firing football coaches and other things along those lines. The longer this goes, the worse it is.
I agree.
For the coach. I really believe that. If they were going to make a decision about suspending him for 2, 4, whatever, you know, make a number of games, that would have been done by now, I believe.
See, I've been thinking the same thing because I know you expected it to go longer because of your experience.
Right.
Because of my inexperience, because I've never been on a university board, I thought they'd hear and go in at 9:30, probably after about 3 hours, maybe come to some sort of consensus, and maybe about noon, 1 o'clock, let everybody know what they want to do.
Right.
The fact that it's gone on this long, I'm with you. Now, obviously, at one point, they paused for lunch and the whole thing.
Yeah, all that. Bring in the pizza.
Right. No, they brought that out to the media.
I'm just kidding.
But they brought that out to the media. The fact that it's gone on this long.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're talking about? I mean, you could be talking anything from.
And the other part,
I mean,
Steve.
It could be suspended, but you're going to be docked pay. It could be, you know, you're allowed to coach right away, but we're going to dock you the weeks you weren't there. It could be you're suspended for, let's just say, one game.
Yeah.
One game, but you're not going to be paid. Or you're going to be suspended, but you're paid. I mean, there's a lot of things they can be taught, or you're done.
And the other part
and
of this
here's is... here's the financial compensation.
Yeah, here's
package.
The bottom line. The other thing about this is when you're talking about a Board of Trustees meeting... And let's just say there are 21 trustees.
Yeah.
It's a large board at Ohio State, like it is at Penn State.
Yeah.
It only takes a majority one way or another. This is not a jury where it's got to be 12 people unanimous beyond a reasonable doubt to reach a decision. It's 12 people that vote out of 21, let's say, one way or another, and that's it.
Plus, no matter what you do here, you have to hear from the university attorneys.
No question.
Well,
they also brought in a private law firm as well to give them whatever investigative material. So you've got the coaches' attorneys, you've got the university attorneys, you've got outside counsel attorneys, 21 trustees, a president, and some administrators. Athletic director's got to be there somewhere. And there's been talk about, you know, he may be in trouble, too. Who knows?
I mean, it could be it's taking so long because they're not just discussing him. They're discussing his wife.
Sure.
And they could be discussing Gene Smith.
Absolutely.
So now it may be, hey, look, we're going to do it all as one announcement. And but, you know, but you, they don't have all the details as to what the one announcement means.
And there's and let's factor in, Steve, the news cycle. You know, the prime news in Columbus, Ohio, will start either at 5 or 6 p.m. locally.
Right, 5 o'clock. It starts at 5 o'clock.
The satellite news trucks are already circling the university and have been for a while.
Yeah.
You've got ESPN. You've got national media there from everything from probably the New York Times to the Sacramento Bee. This is the big sports story.
Sure.
So they've got to accommodate that, and I'm sure their public relations people are in close contact with the what's going on inside to plan all of that so it's not disorganized chaos. So lots of moving parts.
See, I think if they'd come to a consensus on him, let's just say, but let's just pick one here.
Yeah.
Let's go with the one that was floated publicly that didn't go over very well.
Right.
You know, you come out, you announce, let's say it was noon, 1 o'clock, you know, look, this is serious, so suspension time served, blah, blah, blah. You can go back to coaching tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going back into session, though. There are other issues with other employees that we're going to discuss, but we wanted to make sure you knew about this ahead of time. And then you go back in and you talk about maybe Shelley Meyer was employed there. Maybe you talk about Gene Smith. But they haven't done that here today.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really let it hang out the dry all day. I mean, look, now I know they've had lunch, obviously.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. But this thing started 7.5 hours ago.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I know that a guy on Fox News, Brett Baer, says often. We don't know what we don't know.
Right. And like I said, we don't know what they're talking about. In other words, they could be talking about, okay, we've got Urban settled, but now we've got to talk about Shelley Meyer. Okay. Now we got that settled. Now we've got to talk about Gene Smith, the athletic director. So what he, and it could be all of that, and then we're going to do it all at once.
And bring it out together.
Or it could be they're just talking about him and they don't know what to do.
Steve, as you know, in media relations, the idea behind that from a university perspective is to get it all done at one time, get it done over with quickly, and then say, we're moving forward, we've discussed this enough, now let's talk football and let's not talk coaches, we're done.
Plus the administration and the both sides, they want to get with their PR people to make sure how they give the right presentation before they even, you know, before they want the cameras to start rolling.
Well, let's go with the presentation part of it. The tweet Urban Meyer put out, instead of saying he lied, he said he failed.
Yeah.
Right? That's part of the PR part of it. Yeah. The problem he's got with the tweet goes back to the same problem he had in Chicago.
At the Big Ten Media Day.
And the tweet was, I was unprepared to talk about it. Excuse me, there are two or three experts on this topic. Zach Smith, your wife, and you. So guess what? I'm unprepared to talk about it. I don't know anything about it except what I read. You lived it. You're the best prepared person in the world to talk about it. That was a farce what he wrote that.
Steve, you know, let me ask this question. Big Ten Media Day. Approximately how many members of the media are at something like that?
150.
Yeah, and my point
150, 200.
Don't you think just possibly one of the 150 to 200 people might just happen to have something like that on their mind that they want to raise their hand and go, excuse
me,
coach.
They just fired him.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
They just fired him, and they brought in Brian Hartline to be the assistant coach. Well, he got fired because of a restraining order, whatever the order may be, protection from
Pennsylvania, at least.
Right. A restraining order because he brought the children back to the house, and which meant he pulled into the driveway. They were supposed to, as I mentioned earlier, they were supposed to meet at a neutral site.
Yeah,
he couldn't find her. So since he couldn't find her, he did, I would guess, the responsible thing. He brought him to the house.
Yeah.
Well, but it violates, and so he was arrested for it. That then kicked in that he's got to go.
Okay?
But, again,
Steve,
all these other items are you have to go to, and they never went.
And let me just add this from law enforcement perspective. If there's a protection from abuse order in effect at the time, and there's a violation of that, even at what we would call a technical violation, the police are mandated.
They have to do it.
They don't have a choice. There's no discretion there. Sort it out later, but you separate the issue of the violation right away by taking somebody off, right, usually in handcuffs.
Right.
So that was going to happen.
Right. And that was my point. I was trying to be fair. Like, absolutely, he probably was doing the common sense thing. Yeah. I don't know where, so I'll bring him to the house.
And right? So they sorted out after the fact, which is fine.
Right. I mean, look, we're trying to be fair about this the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, loyalty is, I've always valued it immensely. Loyalty.
Sure.
It's something my parents brought me up on. But again, you could take anything to extremes. And one of the extremes would happen to be blind loyalty. See, there's justified loyalty where they're loyal to you, you're loyal back, right? And one of the reasons you're loyal to them is that, hey, look, that's a good person, okay? Blind loyalty crosses a line. And like anything, like we could talk about all the great, you know, like all the great things the internet can do. The internet's great for this, great for that. There's also areas of the internet that are bad, right? You can cross over. Blind loyalty, you can cross over. And why this guy kept getting a pass for 9 years, I'll never know.
Steve, let me ask the question that will come down the road maybe tomorrow or tonight. Is simply this. Let's just assume that Urban Meyer signs a release agreement and he is no longer the coach at Ohio State starting tomorrow. Let's just say that.
Yeah, sure.
That's the premise.
Right.
What impact does that have on the Ohio State football team, say, for September, you know, going just for the...
This is one of those years. Ohio State, to its credit, under Urban, you know, they played some good teams. They played Oklahoma each of the last 2 years, for example, non-conference.
Right.
This is not one of those years. I mean, they do have TCU, okay? They've got Oregon State, and the other one I can't remember. So they've got – Oregon State's not very good. TCU is probably one of the top three teams in the Big 12.
Right.
Okay? And then they have Rutgers to start the conference. Then it's Penn State.
Right.
It'll at least buy them time to get into what they're doing with Ryan Day running it. I felt it was really interesting that Ryan Day was selected to be the interim, just like I thought it was very interesting that Matt Canada was the interim selected at Maryland, because they're both coordinators, but if you're looking at timelines, they might be among the staff members the least culpable. Remember what Courtney Smith said. All the wives knew.
Well, right.
Okay? Ryan Day wasn't there in 2015. Okay? Matt Canada just joined his staff in February. Okay? Which is, by the way, Matt's seventh stop in 9 years.
He's been traveled.
I mean, some of us have Marriott points. He's got Atlas Van Line points. all right? So that's what I found interesting, is that the interims would be the people that, while being coordinators, okay, I understand that, also would be under the category of potentially the least culpable on the staff.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap things up from Front Street Station in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
We are...
Yes.
He's into it. All right. That's coming up a week from Saturday. The Nittany Lions will open with Appalachian State at Beaver Stadium. 3:30 will be the kickoff. 2 o'clock the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The high school football season opens up on Friday night. It'll be Shikellamy at home taking on Danville. And Kevin Hurd, Dick Hort with the call here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And also, we'll have Lewisburg and Selins Grove head-to-head. Lewisburg broadcast will be on 100.9 The Valley, your home for the Steelers, by the way.
Yes.
And Eagle 107 will have the Selins Grove broadcast, your home for the Eagles, by the way.
Super Bowl chance.
And Bucknell. So there you go.
It's just hard to believe. Here it is. We're,
I mean, Matt's all excited about the Eagles.
Matt's
thing.
Ready to go. Yeah. We're just so close to the start of the season. My goodness.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's what we're all anxious for. I mean, we're looking at news today. I thought this show was going to be dominated by news of what the decision was. It hasn't happened yet.
You know, and there's let's just face it. We sit here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, over in the next state to the west of us. We're rivals. So we have a keen interest in what goes on in Columbus, Ohio. It's not like it's, Colorado State or someplace like that. This is, like, really important stuff for Penn State in a nice way.
Right. Let me put it this way. All I wanted to do is whatever the decision they make is right and fair. Okay?
Sure.
Okay. After that, okay, just let it be right. Let it be fair. I mean, if they're taking their time nulling it out, they're taking their time nulling it out. But I agree with you, your point. The longer this goes, the more questions it brings up.
Yeah, it's not good. And my other conspiracy theory in all of this is they know that the Steve Jones Show goes off the air on WKOK approximately 5 p.m. They're probably timing the announcement, Steve.
Well, Matt Catrillo had a conspiracy theory that it was going to drop at 4:58.
Yeah. So I'm, it's Ohio State. They do stuff like that to Penn State just to tick us off.
It's a nose for news, Catrillo has. All right. Yeah. Hey, the suit said it would be by the eighth drink. Everybody has their own clocks.
Well, he's up to number 10, so that passed.
Doing okay?
He's awesome.
Do you notice how when the coach Dick Hort comes in, how Kevin just tones it down immediately? The coach is a great impact on Kevin.
It's like a father figure.
Yeah.
Like what not to do. Is that how you talk to your father?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, the good news is we can talk about, you can talk about it tomorrow on Steve Jones. Well, what happened at Ohio State
You got the Phillies Nationals tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Phillies are Nationals on tomorrow.
Max Scherzer tomorrow afternoon.
Scherzer tomorrow. Yeah. Well, that just screams shutout.
Max Scherzer being Max Scherzer.
Well, Sean, you can pop in with breaking news headlines on this whole thing during the Phillies game.
Yes.
Or Matt can take over and do that as well.
He'll have to do it. All right. Well, we had a great time here today. Our thanks to the great people here at Front Street Station. Really great people. Great facility. We're going to have a lot of fun here for the next hour as we enjoy. Kevin's already working the room.
Thank you, Sunbury Motors. I just bought a nice Ford Escape from you lads over there.
Stimulate the economy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so always glad to work with Sunbury Motors.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 and Hummel's Wharf. Phillies in this time spot tomorrow. Back on Friday, Tim May, Columbus Dispatch schedule.